Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
We first moved here, many of you know that we moved here from Grand Island, Nebraska, and when we first moved here, aside from some particular challenges that took place during the trip, one of the most amazing blessings was being able to drive a car from Nebraska to California and literally drive into a garage, and that would be the house where we'd be living. You see, this church owns a parsonage, owns a home that the pastor's family lives in during the time that we're here. So from Nebraska, we didn't have to, search for an apartment or a house or anything like that. You all own a house. It's a very nice house. If you'd like to see it, by the way, you're welcome. Here's the guideline, because don't just show up. But if you're part of the group that's going to go caroling, when we go caroling in December, we're having the after party at the parsonage. So go caroling and then come on by. And now one of the things that happened, and that you'll see if you come by, one of the things that happened probably a month or two after we moved into the house, one of our children was taking a shower in the downstairs bathroom. There's two bathrooms, one downstairs, one up. One of our children was taking a shower in the downstairs bathroom, and we noticed that there was water seeping up out of the floor in the hallway outside the bathroom. Now, if you don't know anything about plumbing or construction, that's bad. Okay, I'm glad we agree. I'd like to pause for a minute. I like to do this when I hear a siren. Holy and gracious God, we ask that you go with those who are offering care and aid to others, to those who are in need of your presence and your peace and your hope and your strength and your healing, be with them. And to those who go to aid them, give them your strength so that your healing work might be done. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Every time there's a siren, I like to have a quick prayer, so forgive my interruption. So, again, water seeping up out of the floor, bad. Okay, good. So we're agreed on that. This church, the trustees committee who is managing all the property that the church owns, got right on it, and there's a guy named Paul who does a bunch of projects for the church. He came by, and he sort of acted as the handyman contractor, and my wife, Beth, had some design influence, which is good because I don't have that. It's just, come by and see it. It's really nice. But one of the things that happened during that sort of construction process, as, you know, just everything is torn out and the drywall's down and we're down to the studs, and I got sort of excited. Like, I like that stuff. Like, I'm seeing where the electrical conduits come through and the light switches and where the medicine cabinet goes, and we're making decisions about, you know, should the toilet stay there or should it move over here, and what about the sinks and maybe double sinks, and, you know, how big is the shower enclosure, and what kind of, like, I got a little bit ridiculously excited about that. And I wonder if I annoyed Paul, like the guy who's doing the work, because I kept talking to him, and he was super patient with me, but I sort of wonder if I, like, annoyed him with it. Because I love that kind of stuff. I love that kind of work, that working and building things with your hands. And even some of the, I don't know, maybe monotonous things like framing a wall, things like that, you know, maybe people find that boring, but I just got excited about it. And I don't think that I made Paul mad about it, but, you know, I did. I spent more time in there than I needed to, maybe more time than he wanted me to, talking about all these various construction things. And, you know, I began thinking over the course of this week, as I was thinking about that story, I began thinking, like, why do I get that excited about stuff like that? And it comes, I think, from other experiences where I've been able to do those things. When I was a teenager, I went for the first time to the Sierra Service Project, and I went with a youth group off to a Native American reservation, and, you know, we weren't dealing with, you know, studs and walls, we were dealing with roofing, and we were putting new roofing shingles on a house, and we were doing some painting. But I've also done some things with Habitat for Humanity that included, you know, building full-on houses for people who were in need. And our family has been really active in various camping ministries, and there's a camp up in the Angeles National Forest where one of their staff houses was being remodeled, and we got to participate in, like, stripping this house down to the studs and then, you know, putting in new electrical. And I learned how to sweat copper when it comes to plumbing, and even routing some sort of technical cables for, you know, speakers and network cables. And, like, I was in my element. It was awesome. It was fun, and I got to participate, and it was great. And one of the things that I realized was that I never thought about it this way before, but that was like a spiritual experience. Like, for me, in the ways that I just interact with the world, one of the things that I realized about doing that kind of work was a spiritual experience for me. And I think that kind of a spiritual experience goes beyond, you know, 2x4s and conduits. I think it's a reality that it was spiritual for me because I was doing it for somebody else. Now, I don't think that I'm necessarily great at those things. I'm okay. But the little bit of gifts that I have around that, I was able to share that with people, and it was a spiritual experience. And I think that we might, when we think about the stuff that we're good at, just like I said with the kids, the stuff that we're good at, when we share those things with others, like, I wonder if for you also, if it's a spiritual experience. One of the other things for me that I find deeply spiritual is music. And when I get to participate in music, whether it's with my voice or an instrument or whatever, like, it's a moving and spiritual experience. So I'd invite you to think for a bit about, like, what are the things that you're good at, and that when you share those things, and the many ways there are to do that, that it feels like a spiritual experience. I believe that all the stuff that we're good at, that we can think about those things as gifts, we can think about those things as talents, but I don't think we own those things. I think they come from somewhere else. I think they come from God. I think that God gifts us with those things and then calls us to use them. And here's sort of in a nutshell, here's my theology about how that works. You see, I believe that when we have faith in God through Jesus Christ, when we sort of claim that as our own, that we're transformed. I think there's an inner transformation that happens, right? In that transformation, I think that sometimes, I hope that most of the time, we find ourselves compelled to live in such a way that something has made a difference for us. I think we find ourselves compelled in that way. Now, one way that I've heard sort of talk about this is in the book of James in the New Testament. And James says, faith without works is dead. In other words, James would say that, like, if you have faith but you don't live as though you have faith, then do you really? Now, the scripture that we're going to read today is not from James, because James, sometimes I feel guilty when I read James, but I picked another scripture for today that I think says a very similar thing, but I want you to know why I picked this scripture. You know, I told that story about when we moved here from Nebraska, but one of the things, because I'm a technical guy, one of the things that I've done anytime I've moved to a new church is before I move there, I check out the website. Okay, and so I checked out the website, and the scripture that we're about to read was the scripture on the website as sort of a scriptural inspiration for why we serve a community meal every week. This is the scripture that was there. And so I'd like to invite Judy to read. This is out of the Gospel of Matthew. And just to give us a little bit of context, just before this scripture is where Jesus finds out that John the Baptist was killed. So I want you to hear this scripture recognizing that Jesus' cousin has, like, he just got the news that his cousin was killed. So he goes off by himself, and I imagine that he needs sort of some space, right? It's his cousin. It's not like his third cousin twice removed. It's his cousin, the person who baptized him. So he gets the news that his cousin was murdered, and he needs some emotional and spiritual space, and he goes off by himself, but here's what happens. Let's hear from Matthew.
Matthew 14:13-21. Common English Bible. When Jesus heard about John, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. When the crowds learned this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion for them and healed those who were sick. That evening, his disciples came and said to him, "This is an isolated place, and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "There's no need to send them away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here except 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, blessed them, and broke the loaves apart and gave them to his disciples. Then the disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate until they were full, and they filled 12 baskets with the leftovers. About 5,000 men, plus women and children, had eaten.
When we think about what sort of emotional state Jesus might have been in after just getting the news that his cousin had been murdered, and so he goes off by himself. He takes some, I think, good time for self-care. But as he takes that time for self-care, he finds himself pursued by this crowd. 5,000 people plus women and children. I mean, that's not a small crowd. And not only like they follow, because he goes off on a boat, they figure out where he's going and they beat him there. And so can you imagine being Jesus, who's sort of in this process of grief, who shows up on this boat? You're coming up to the shore and you see that where you're headed, there's this giant crowd already there. Now, some Bible stories show us Jesus getting angry, right? Turning over tables, things like that. And so we know Jesus can have an emotional response. And I wonder if his response was, "Oh my goodness, these people." Because I think that's maybe what I would have said. But then what happens? I imagine Jesus saying to himself, "Hold on a second. Because it's not just about me." He has compassion on them. And he spends time and energy. He offers a healing presence. He nourishes them spiritually. But then what happens? They want more than just spiritual nourishment. They get hungry. The disciples come to him and they say, "Oh, it's time for them to go and, you know, to feed themselves." And Jesus says, "No." And this is the scripture that's on our website to this day when it comes to our community meal program. It says, "They don't need to go somewhere else. You give them something to eat." I wonder if you've ever felt as though, like, you observe a need. Maybe it's a need in your, you know, in your family, one of your, you know, family members. Maybe it's a need from a neighbor or somebody in your community where you've observed a need and you felt like, I can't help with that. Like, I don't have enough emotion in me. I don't have enough resources. I don't have enough whatever to respond to that need. Because that, to me, parallels this story, where the disciples observe that there's a need, but they say, "Well, we don't have enough resources to respond to this need." But pay attention to what happens. Because I think, again, that this parallels. The disciples say, "We don't have enough resources to respond to this need." Jesus says, "Give it to me." And he prays, and the miraculousness comes in everyone being able to be nourished from just a little. And I wonder if the way that parallel works within us is that when we observe a need and we feel like we don't have enough in us, whatever the resources are, spiritual or emotional or something else, when we feel like those resources aren't enough, I wonder what happens when we give of those resources to God, to Christ, who multiplies those resources so that not only that we can respond to the needs that we observe, but that we have so much more left over. See, this is why I think the act of living out our service, giving the gifts that have been given to us to those around us in our communities, I think it's a spiritual practice. Because I think when we feel limited, when we feel like we don't have enough within ourselves to give to somebody else, when we include God in the process, then then there's not only enough, there's more than enough. Indeed, there's a cup overflowing. Now, when it comes to responding to needs, I think there's a couple of ways to think about that. And as a congregation and in the community of Pacific Beach, again, there's two ways that we can think about it. And one way that we can think about responding to needs is responding to the needs of the community of Pacific Beach. Now, if we think about Pacific Beach, the way the city of San Diego defines it is it's basically from Turquoise Street, which is an east-west street up north of us, down south. You know, we go east to west. We go basically from the ocean to the 5 freeway, and then we come down Ingram here to the sort of the tip of the peninsula, right? And so that's the community of Pacific Beach. And when we think about how do we serve our community that's an outward-looking kind of service, one of the things that we do is we have a community meal every week, okay, where we serve 125 to 150 plates. Over the course of a year, we serve 10,000 plates of food. That's a lot. And that's in part due to the generosity of this congregation, but also generous organizations in our community who give to the programs. There's, of course, Shoreline Community Services, who's our chief nonprofit partner in all this, who does lots of fundraising for this. But not only is the meal served, we partner with UCSD for the student-run free clinic that offers medical, dental, and acupuncture care. There are social workers and other organizations who come through. We've been giving out free Hep A vaccine. Like, there's a ton of stuff that happens here on Wednesday nights. But you may also know that we've been receiving some feedback from the community in the form of petitions or complaints to the county health department that have helped me personally to see that while it's really, really good for us to offer this community meal, most people think of this meal as a meal for the homeless. It's not. It's a meal for the community. And there are people who come here for this meal, who come and receive medical care, who come and get connected with many of the other services, who are not homeless, who want to have a meal, who want to be in community. That's why, to me, it's an important distinction. And yet the perception is it's just a homeless meal. And so we've been getting some feedback related to that that's been somewhat challenging. I personally have found it challenging. Now, I don't want to say that the people who are presenting these challenges are bad people. I think they're people who care about their communities, who worry for the safety of themselves and for their neighbors. And so I think that we as a congregation can look at, well, how can we change the perception? Number one, that this is an opportunity for the community to gather, not just homeless people, but also how can we also be good neighbors to those in our community who are sheltered? How can we do those things? And those are important conversations that we're having right now. Well, again, those are ways that we can think about service to our community when it comes to looking outward. But I think that we also have to think about how can we be of service to our faith community, so looking inward. And I think service is complete when we look sort of both and. We have to look outward, but we also have to look inward. Maybe think about the number of people who volunteer their time, because only a few are paid staff people, people who volunteer their time so we can have church on Sunday morning. People who handed you your worship bulletin this morning. People who said hello to you as you came in the door. People who put out signs in the parking lot. People who bring gifts of music. People who have spoken. People who are operating our technology. People who have done things in preparation before Sunday even came in terms of making sure there's enough, you know, pens in the pews, enough offering envelopes. Committees who have made sure that our property is clean and safe, and all of those kinds of things. Much of that is volunteer work. And that's service inward to the faith community. And I think it's important to participate in both of those. And as we think about a full expression of stewardship, not only with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our witness, but also an expression of service, I believe it's a spiritual practice and one that we might prayerfully consider how we might give of ourselves. So I'd like to turn your attention to a couple of different things at once. And I'm going to ask you to multitask, but I think that you can do this. I think we're capable of this. The first thing I want to turn your attention to is those pink folded over sheets that are in your order of worship. On those sheets, you'll find a number of things that are all bullet pointed. And they're in categories, you know, whether you feel like you enjoy extending a warm welcome, or you think technology's fun, or you have professional skills, or you're good at organizing, or artistic expression. I invite you to take a look at those. You'll notice that there's, you know, little things bullet pointed under each one of those categories. But I want you to know they're bullet pointed because we couldn't figure out how to get the little squares on the screen to show up on the paper. So we did bullet points. And here's what I'd like you to do. And here's the first part of your multitasking. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to go through this. There's pens in your pew backs. And I'm going to ask you to go through and circle all the little bullet points of things where you feel like you could be of service to your community or this faith community. I'm going to ask you to go through. Now, here's where I hope this doesn't put too much stress on you, but I'm going to ask you to do this while we're here in church and then put it in the offering plate when that comes by later on, okay? Important note, we forgot to make a place for you to put your name, but on the back, there's a blank space here. You can just put your name right there, or, you know, on the top or whatever, just as long as your name is on there. If you're not sure that we have your contact information, make sure that's there as well. So in a minute, I'm going to ask you to go through this and circle those bullet points. If it's too stressful for you to fill this out here in church and put it in the offering plate, take it home. But my request of you is don't just let it sit on a table or a countertop somewhere. Make sure that you bring it back next week. Okay, so that's the first part of our multitasking. The second part of our multitasking is we've got a video that I'd like to show you in a minute. So while that video plays is when you can fill this out. But here's what the video is. One of our members, Kurt Ely Kinsey, he and his husband Jason used to live up north. They've moved down here, but when they were up there, they attended the San Diego United Methodist Church. A tradition at that congregation is to take one Sunday out of the year and not have a worship service. Like, people come to church and have a prayer, but then they go back out into the community. And there are a series of organized events that might have to do with, you know, putting together little homeless bags or bags that we give to the unsheltered people that we see at the intersections. Or it might have to do with sewing school kits for the United Methodist Committee on Relief. It might be a work project in a local community garden or a local neighborhood. Or, you know, projects that can be done either in the community or that can be sort of done here that then are sent out into the community. This is a video that highlights some of those projects. Again, it's from the San Diego Church, so you won't see any faces that you recognize, but it's to give us some ideas of what that can look like. And while that video plays, I'd like you to take a look at this pink sheet, and then we'll close in a prayer. So let's move into that time. Those are just a few examples of some things that we can do. We're not doing this right away. It probably won't be until next year, likely in October. We'll work with Kurt on how that's scheduled. He's agreed to organize that. And if you have ideas that you'd like to share with Kurt, he's not here today, but look for him on a future Sunday, and you'll probably see him chasing his two adorable boys around, but you can chat with Kurt if you have ideas about that. Here's just the last couple of things that I'd like to say. I mentioned that we forgot to put a place to put your name on there, so I invite you to put your name. But think about your name in this way. And as I understand it, when it comes to like signing legal contracts, there's something in the law about sort of the formality, the ceremony of signing your name. I remember reading that somewhere. But here's what I don't want you to think about this in a legal sense, but in a spiritual sense. When you write your name here, do so prayerfully. The idea that when we give of ourselves, the idea opening ourselves to very many ways that we might be able to serve our outward community or our inward community, it's a spiritual practice. And think about when you put your name on here, that's your spiritual sense of self, that you're giving of yourself in ways that you can gift this community of Pacific Beach. Finally, I'd say this. This is a prayerfully spiritual experience. And so now is a time that we might take a moment to be prayerful as our musicians play, to open yourselves to how God might be speaking to you through this time of this message, but also this worship service. Amen. There's something I forgot to read to you. And so as we enter into a time of prayer, first I'm going to read a letter that was sent to the church. You know, I mentioned that we've been getting some negative feedback, particularly about the community meal. But I also want you to know that people notice when you do the right thing. We got this letter, not this past week, but the week before. When we follow through with that sense of spiritual transformation, I believe that people notice. And here's the letter we received. It's dated October 2nd, and it says, "Dear Pastor Bob, Pastor Christopher, and the United Methodist community," that's you, "it's taken me too long to write to you, but better late than never, I hope. I just wanted to extend my support for the work you all do to share food, grace, and compassion for those in our community who are in need. I was shocked and saddened to hear about a neighbor starting a petition to pressure you and other churches to stop. Obviously, our broader community is reckoning with its understanding of compassion. I believe the law is on your side, and surely you know better than I. I simply wanted to express my support for your good deeds. May you continue to find strength in sharing nourishment with our neighbors, whether they have houses or not. Your community notices. What accompanied this letter was a small check that went to support our Wednesday community meal. As we enter into a time of prayer, let us do so recognizing the strength of the community that is drawn here this day. Holy and gracious God, we are glad for this opportunity to be here in this place, to be connected with our sisters and brothers, our siblings in Christ. Help us in this connection to know that we might draw on the strength of one another just as we might give of our strength to others, that we might offer support in times of challenge and that we might celebrate with one another in times of joy. As we are drawn together this day, help us to see the strength of community and that when we share our gifts with one another, we are drawn more closely together and more able to transform our community into a place of light and peace and hope and joy and ultimately of love. We pray in the name of your Son, our Christ, who has taught us to pray, as we might do so together today, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.